Well, hello everyone. I'm back again with Annex Masters. We've had some interesting conversations in recent days with him. Today, he wants to kind of present his 12-point grand plan or grand vision for rejuvenating Britain or for Britain's future. People are often accused of not having a plan or of not having a positive vision. Annex, you want to kind of lay out your case. I will endeavour not to be too Jeremy Paxman-like, but I will try to press you on certain things as we go. Before we get there, I'll just remind everyone, promo code SHORJANG gets you 25% off all courses. Buy it now. Trivium, the bestseller. Many other great courses. Alex, where can people find you?
Yeah, so they can find me on Twitter at @A2_Masters or just search Alex, that Steam guy. And for this episode, you can also find me on Patreon at CC Fuels, or just search Compressed Carbon Fuels on Patreon and you'll find me there.
All right, so 12-point grand plan for Britain.
Yes.
Take it away. Take it yes. away.
So our previous two conversations, our first one, we talked about the perceived stagnation on the right, which sort of comes from a directionlessness. And there is obviously energy there. There is a wanting to do something. But at the moment we are online. We are sort of scared of our own shadows in a way. I think that we've become too theory cell and we're too politicized to look at the potential opportunities that are staring us dead in the face. Then in our second video, we were talking about my defense of Anglo-futurism. Just although it's got some holes in it at the moment, it does lay out a sort of optimistic case that there will be a Britain after you know, our inevitable victory after and a state to move towards, and also that is a largely an apolitical thing. We note the similarities between ultimately what we're looking for and what sensible also centrists like Aaron Bastani and other such people are looking for. So here in our third segment, I'm going to outline the plan of what I've come up with. This grand plan, as I've called it, working title, is centred on West Devon, which is, and the Tamar Valley, which is not only a very, very pretty part of the country. It's also somewhere, as I say, the necessity of working in the real world. As many people know, I'm the chairman of an organization called the Robey Trust, that's centered in Tavistock, which is right in the heart of West Devon and the Tavy and Tamar Valleys. I often use it as evidence of the ability to create good working relationships with non-political movers and shakers, and actually as an example of where dealing with reality forces you to become more pragmatic in your policy approaches. But ultimately, what I want to give people is... Stop doing that, bud. Ruining the rug. Is to move towards an actual physical ambition, but then also interwoven into that is an aspiration to finally form our network of tens and a sort of NGO base, but then not working the network on tens on your ability to recite Spengler, but it's actually based on your ability to organize and command resources and to have sway and access in your own local communities. So it's all available. I was doing over the last couple of days, I put an individual post up on my Facebook, which then links to the Patreon, where I've sort of outlined a strategic outlook of what the grand plan would be. So we'll quickly run through those. I'll try and keep it as non-technical as possible because I know people get a bit dry on the when you start going into the details. So here it goes. So the the first phase really is a pilot plant for the briquettes that I've been making as the renewable coal for the steam industry. So when I started this, I was trying to look for sort of gaps in the armor of the regime, because particularly in the UK, obviously we live in an extremely centralized and sort of stovepiped establishment. This is why Nigel firewalls off the dissident right, because he's not talking, unlike in America, where you've got quite a disparate, you've got lots of competing power factions all over the place, and you can form reasonable bases out of disparate groups. In the UK, it's all pretty much sewn up and has been for centuries. So renewable energy, alternative power, net zero, all these very, very haram words on the right, actually, if you depoliticize your thinking, are actually a great opportunity to get in under the radar, talking about sustainability, talking about localism, talking about STEM engagement and all this sort of stuff. And I picked the briquette works as phase one simply because it's the smallest and it requires the least capital investment going. So it's basically me in an ISO container in the Trust car park, making briquettes out of charcoal, but then using them to fire the engines. Now, that might seem quite a low thing, but you know what are you doing with that? So, setting up a business, it's something real. It's got capital expenditure. I need to form good working relationships with the charity, with the town and district councils, with local wood suppliers, with all this sort of thing. Then when you make the briquettes and you've got them actually done, I'm talking to local businesses for selling them to the domestic market and getting into the steam scene, which is a massive, like, £1 billion industry that nobody talks about, which is a repository of the sort of last of the heavy engineering skills in the country. It's basically defence and the steam movement that keeps heavy industry going in the country. So that's phase one. Phase two is to move out the ISO container and into an actual factory doing this. So making your own charcoal, this means having better sources of wood to make the charcoal of. The steam movement burns 35,000 tons of coal a year. We import 2 million tons of coal a year for various purposes. So this is a big market with a need to secure domestic sources that cannot be the mines, because we've legislated the mines out of existence. That's an opportunity there for us to start talking about that. That also means we can investigate the possibilities of actually buying forests, you know, buying land, partially to secure our own resources, but then also to prevent them from being developed with those horrible little hutches that have popped up everywhere. Obviously means it's more of a sway in the local community. Phase three is moving from solid fuels into renewable gases. That's basically a process called anaerobic digestion, where you take food waste and cow muck, and there's an awful lot of it in West Devon because it's mostly dairy country. Rot it down, take the gas off, use the gas to generate electricity. Lots and lots of renewable subsidies. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Make it about a 1 megawatt size. It's not massive. Again, it involves working with council, but then you're working with the national gas grid and the national grid to get some sway and get them to connect you up into it. Farming subsidies off the government, there's all the rest of this. Now, you know, a respected figure in the community also means jobs in a place where tourism basically means everybody works part time on minimum wage. Phase four is a really interesting one where we start to farm this out. So once we've got the plans and the ability to build these little factories, go to the supporter base, go to the Patreon supporters and say, right, I've got these plans. Where can you build one in your community? Where can you start making this stuff? And have you got the connections? So using the factories and the little energy plants to deposit and support our friends throughout the country. And you do it all above board, and you do it all with an open, you know, with a full chest and an open heart. I want to support the sustainability objectives of my local council. I want to deal with the rubbish problem, and I want to, you know, do all this. Moves them in. But we are always net energy contributors, which means that when the power starts going off, as some of our more sort of ardent adherents to the competency crisis would say, we're the ones at the switchboard, which ultimately means we're the ones who get to choose who gets turned off. So that's phase four, you know, moving out nationally. Phase five is something I've called the Tinker Tank, which is basically a think tank, but for engineers. So we'll have got the resources, we'll have got the skills, giving engineers a safe space to develop new products. I've already had, you know, even before setting this up, I've had people message me and go, sort of, you know, I'm a CAD draftsman, you know, is there any place for me? That's where that is. I really want to start engaging with the sort of wider engineering community and supporting them, you know, in the professional engineering bodies to get our, you know, toes in, our fingers in them to say, we're doing this, but we want to support STEM as an institution. We want to make a positive contribution to that, but we also want to give engineers, you know, we're trying to solve the productivity crisis, and we want to give engineers free rein to experiment, grow ideas. We want to be sort of a Silicon Valley, but for actual stuff, not just, you know, projects for the security states. Phase six is a long running thing in the town. It's one of my personal pet projects. And it's one thing that the town has been absolutely desperate for since 1962. And that is to put the railway line back between Tavistock and the junction at Beer Alston with Network Rail. So they've been campaigning for this for decades. I've read policy papers from sort of 2014 from Devon County Council saying, yeah, it's definitely going to happen. The roads are already oversubscribed, and they've done a lot of building work around Tavi to put more houses in. We can't expand the roads. We've got to do the railway. But the money from central government never comes. In fact, it got so close at the back end of the Sunak regime, when they scrapped the northern extension of HS2, the Tavistock line was one of the proposals that was going to be funded with the money. And then we went to the general election and it all got scrapped. So you say, oh, right, it's just a little regional railway. Well, that means we can get our resources in and out. It means we've moved into the transport sector. It means we've got more sort of a say in sort of that. We can start dipping our fingers into sort of Network Rail and national infrastructure policy, but from a position that we've actually done it. And sort of looking at things like that. Phase seven, I've just called agriculture, bearing in mind this is sort of strategic overlook. So if we're making the offshoot from a gasworks, from a digester plant, is highly nutritious liquors, which you can use as fertilizers. One of the big things we've got in the country is the skyrocketing price of chemical fertilizers because our chemicals industry is dying. We'll be desperate to get this stuff out. And of course, all our franchise gasworks will be desperate to get their byproducts out so we can slot in there. I'm also really fascinated, just from being a country bumpkin, about like farming generally and soil ecology. And it's one of the things I know Clarkson goes on about it quite a lot on Clarkson's farm, is our over-reliance on chemical fertilizers, the general health of the soil, the bacterial and fungal contributions into the soil and yields. Again, if we're buying land to prevent development, but then we can also say, well, we're buying land because we want to extend organic farming and bring it into the 21st century. We want to optimize all this. If we're making charcoal, we can also make biochar, and we can infuse it with the liquors, and then we can either direct plow it or we can drill it into the soil and things like that. And then we can start running tests on that, you know, and then we start buddying up with the NFU, the National Farmers Union, and getting into DEFRA and things like that. And of course, we can move it all out with the railway. Phase 8 is quite a simple one. That's just to extend the railway from Tavistock up to Lidford Junction. So at Lidford Junction, it's another 5 miles up towards that. That's where the railway splits and eventually goes to either Oakhampton or Launceston. 9 I've called algaculture. So phase 9, moving off the land and into the sea. One of the big things we've got at the moment is restrictive land uses and the competition between food and fuel. They have it particularly bad in America, where a lot of the corn that's industrially mined or grown goes to bioethanol and high fructose corn syrups and that. And actually, as an island, it makes sense for us to start cultivating our oceans. Obviously, being down here in West Devon, the railway goes straight to Plymouth. Plymouth is the sort of national maritime city. So there's Plymouth University and the aquarium. And, you know, you start going, well, I want to do an algal farm out in Plymouth Sound and out in the channel. But I want to do it in an environmentally conscious way. I don't want to intensively agriculture. You know, I don't want to damage the kelp beds and things like this. You know, or you can talk in all this lovely, lovely language, but you're making friendships and influencing interesting people who are doing interesting things. The seaweed, then, if you're growing kelps, there's kelps that have a higher fat content or a higher carbohydrate content. They can either go in the digesters to make more gas, or you move into phase 10, which is the final fuel one, which is liquid fuels. You can make biodiesel or e-fuels there. Again, this is only a sort of structural layout. I'm not proposing that I've thought about this in depth yet, and I've absolutely nailed the plan down. But we're talking, we've got our workboats that are operating on the kelp farm. We've got our tractors. We've got the railway engines. We've got our own domestic requirements. Being able to make our own diesel as a drop-in replacement is very, very handy. It also means we can help local farmers, and we can help the fishermen at New Lynn and places like this. Again, at a sort of smaller scale. So you go back to the franchise model. Well, once we've done it, then we can hand it off. You know, if we've got a friend in Skegness or Margate or something like that, and they want to run an algae farm with a biodiesel plant attached to it, yeah, you know, sign up. We'll send you the plans. We'll all the knowledge that we've built up from doing it ourselves, we can just help you do that. We've now got a friend over in Margate who's making his own diesel. He's now into Margate Council, and he's influencing them there as a respected pillar of the community, providing much needed jobs in a tourist heavy place. Phase 11 is simply to extend the railway from Lidford Junction up to Oakhampton. At Oakhampton, you go over Meldon Viaduct into Meldon Quarry. That then links you back up with Network Rail, but at the other end. So not only have you given yourself access to Mid-Devon and then to Exeter, but then you've also given Network Rail northern access into Plymouth. Rent the line back to them when you're not using it on a Sunday or something. Let rail freight go up and down it. Bit of a money-making thing, but it's also I can run commuter trains from Oakhampton through to Plymouth, it'd be fine. And also using the goods yard at Plimstock, was it Plimpton, which Network Rail have stated they want to do a lot more rail freight, stand by the development of the railways bill, which is currently going through scrutiny in Parliament now. And then phase 12 is just to put the railway back from Lidford Junction to Launceston. Launceston, lovely little market town in Cornwall, was cruelly cut off from the railways back in the 60s. And we can now link it back up to our system. We can run through trains. Launceston's also quite in a very agricultural area. We can pull in resources from there, running goods trains, taking it all off the roads. So many points there. Extends our influence into across the Tamar into Cornwall. All the knowledge we've built up over opening these railways, of course, we can also feed back into the franchise model. So if your local council is desperately trying to reopen its railway, well, maybe, you know, instead of them waiting for central government money, we can actually say, well, we've done it privately, and here's how we've done it. We can provide initial capital support and all the rest of it that way. So by the end of the phases, and bearing in mind, if it works out 3 years a phase, it will finish on my 70th birthday. that's the grand plan for that. Obviously, it focuses on what I'd be doing, but from phase four, it then becomes an open book to subscribers to share and build on the knowledge and make it into a national exercise. My theory for the national franchises would then be that these would contribute into a central pool, which ultimately would be under the Tinker Tank as our sort of charitable NGO thing. But obviously we can support other such friendly activities in different spheres. So that's it really, is that we become the sort of, you know, the Trumpton localist model we take to a national scale and create our own little Trumptons all over the country and then speak to each other. So, yeah, one of the things when I was putting this together is I think, I'll let you come back on that actually first before I keep talking.
Well, I wrote it down for one. There's the 12-point plan. I don't know if it's all fit in. There you go. Three of them were just railway extensions. I know.
Yeah.
So there we go. I mean, it's almost you're almost kind of like reinventing the industrial, kind of going through the phases of the original industrial revolution. And then there's your spinning jenny, and then factory.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they then moved into building railways in. So in a way, you're kind of doing that. And that, in another sense, personally, I mean, I was thinking more of the Fat Controller rather than Trump Dumb, but it's a kind of similar idea, right? I mean, these railways, are you talking about steam railways? Like running on charcoal?
I mean, there is opportunity. Actually, there are, I said before this, I've just renewed my subscription to the Advanced Steam Traction Trust. There's also a company called DLM, Dampflok Machine Fabrik in Switzerland. Since the decline of steam engines in the 60s, there's been an awful lot of development work quietly happening in the background. So basically all the Swiss mountain railways run on modern steam engines because everybody loves, you know, chuffing up a mountainside. But they're built to modern specs. They actually run on home heating oil instead of solid fuels, which then cuts all the problems that you have with ash and shoveling and all the rest of it. So all that goes off. And they think they've got it in within 3% of the operating cost of a diesel overall, because the steam engine is just so simple. The capital costs are very much lower. So there is scope for that. And it would be lovely to design from scratch a modern sort of computer controlled, you know, tank engine running on our own biodiesel. I think that would be much better than just buying some knackered second-hand class 150s and putting them up the railway.
And all this would be environmentally friendly as well.
Oh, of course, impeccably.
Interesting. Okay. And the reason that this is a national plan is that you plan to reproduce essentially what you want to do in Devon and all around the country.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually it's the flip of that is I want you, the viewers, to come to me and say, I want to set one of these up in my, I've said for a long time, I want people to become experts in the 20 miles around their house. Wait, I eat mum's books, rabbit being a vandal. It's the sort of individual collectivism of I don't want to be sat here mandating everything, but what I want you to do is to think, right, what can I, those 12 points, which ones can I do on a small scale? I mean, a 1 megawatt gasworks, which was the one I was always working to, it was about two lorry loads a day of input you needed. Or running a briquette works, which is making, you know, 100 tons a week or something like that, and an ethanol plant or a biodiesel plant of a similar sort of size, keeping it on the human scale and trying to, instead of just nationalizing it and trying to come up with some grand vision where you can never get on the bottom rung of it, going, right, what on a reasonable scale can, you know, you and one or two mates do in an industrial unit at the back of the industrial estate in town?
Now, presumably, if you're making charcoal, you need wood.
Yes. Yes.
Where are you getting the trees from?
I said we'd own our own forests. There's also an obscene amount of wood that is thrown away every year. But for those purposes, you don't need necessarily wood. You can actually, through the process of pyrolysis, which is heating it up to make the charcoal, really any biological matter will do. I've seen people do it with, even waste. I've seen some people with human excrement. You can make charcoal out of that. And that would be something for the Tinker Tank to do, is to go, right, what are the, what are the things people are throwing away, and can we make money out of these? Or use them as resources? And that was one of the things. The right doesn't... It immediately goes into this idea of, I want to see a business case. I need to make money. It's like, actually, that's sort of self-defeating. What we need to be doing is building capability. We need to be...
Could you theoretically make a deal with a local council to be like, well, we'll help process your biological waste?
Oh, it's not even theoretical. I've had those meetings with the council. Mm. The first one I actually proposed was the gasworks at phase 3. And I went to I went to Tavistock Town Council, and it was literally just a fact-finding mission. I just, pinged the town clerk an email saying, I'm interested in this technology, how does Tavi deal with its waste at the moment? And I got through to the chap on the council who deals with the waste. Very lovely chap. And we had a cup of coffee in the hotel in the centre of town, and told me everything. He said, well, it currently goes up to a place in Holsworthy, but the contract gets renewed every 5 years or whatever it is. So yeah, if you can do that, we'd be looking to cut the waste miles down, part of their environmental net zero strategy, and if they could process it in town, that would be amazing. And the one thing he said, he was quite apologetic. He said, I'm really sorry, the town council can't financially support you at this time. I said, no, I wasn't coming, begging for money. I was actually just, if I put a planning proposal in for something, that you're not going to, step in my way. And they were more than happy to see that sort of thing. They were even proposing sites for it. Because I was going, I think it should, I've had a look around town, and I think it should go up there. And they went, have you considered down here? And I was like, no, brilliant. Yeah. Show me. It was like the old tip site on the outside of town.
I don't want your money. I want your banana peels.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, that's the end of my Paxman effort. okay. So if people want to get involved with this, there's a website to have a look at.
Yeah, it's all on the Patreon. Really, I think this now goes into a sort of broader discussion about how the right uses resources and how it uses finances. We've done incredible things. Carl with the Lotus Eaters. The Lotus Eaters is an amazing organization, and the amount they do for the resources they have is incredible. Mm-hmm. So if we can use that model and push it into the real world, because everybody's saying business, it's too hard to start a business these days. You're taxed too much. There's no ability to do it. And you think, right, well, you've got this subscriber model, but 1,000 sensible centrists chickening 10,000, £10 a month. What's £10,000? You can do something with £10,000. You can pay people full time off that money, so that the amount of man hours invested in this project goes from sort of, six a week, maybe 50, 60 hours a year, up to 1,800. You can use it to buy capital equipment. And once you've done that, then you start getting into a positive feedback loop. And the capital costs of starting a business and the period where you're not making money, instead of depending on loans, so you put yourself up to usurers and the banking system. But if we like use the crowdfunding model to amass actual capital and do actual capitalism with actual capital instead of it being debt based. You can just push it forwards. And that was why I started on the sort of pilot plan, because you sort of go, the amount of money you're talking about, and I think this is why a lot of people like being in the theory cell world. Mm-hmm. Because you sort of go, well, I'm up there. Oh, it's too hard to get on the bottom rung. I can stay down here commenting forever. But if you go, right, I'm gonna use the subscription model, and I'm going to use that to build this, and particularly in engineering, you're talking about capital equipment, you're talking about capability. Once I've got, a charcoal retort, I can make my own charcoal. Well, as I've said, you don't just use it for briquettes and selling it for barbecues. You can use it as soil enhancer. The Japanese use it for moisture modulation. You can sell it into the filtering industry. You do sort of that. So there's a bit of money coming in, but you've got the ability to do it. It's like buying tools and sticking them in your shed. Once you've got the tool, you've got the ability to do it. And then that was all the phases was sort of spiral complexity. So you get in on the bottom rung, use the subscription model to push this through at an appreciable rate. I think that's the other flip side of it. And again, it comes back to what I said in the previous conversation where, progress is sort of capability times resources. You can have all the capability you want, but if your resources are too low, you won't be able to complete the task in a meaningful time. And again, you come back to there's 12 phases there. If you do one every 3 years, it finishes when I'm 70. Sounds long, but feasible. But if the support isn't there, the index on the project moves out beyond my lifetime. And if it really isn't there, and this is a broader point on the right, is if you're not accumulating resources and you're not accumulating the capital equipment and you're not accumulating the competencies, you're not going to get out the first phase. And ultimately, as we've seen all around the world, the money and the capability comes first. And as I've seen, even in my own tiny, tiny little way, if you're capable, the people in power, the public faces of this stuff, come to you, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. So I would say it like that. And then you've got, subscribing to a thing like this is a bit of a shit test, and it helps, keep non-friends out because they've got to sacrifice their own money to be part of it. So it's a sort of naturally elevating system. You then say that, jobs are go to subscribers first. That's all perfectly well and good. But you've then got sort of our people doing our jobs to our ends, not working the dead end corporate job to scrape by to forever remain an atomized individual. It's going to take collective action, and it's actually going to take proving you can do the small stuff before you can do the big stuff. Mm-hmm. If you own the town gasworks because franchised it out to you, or you're the one who pushed forward and successfully reopened the railway, which the town has wanted for half a century, you'll have a direct line to the you'll have a direct line to the MP, and it won't even be, it won't just necessarily be a direct line. He'll take on board what you have to say because you're not a constituent. You're a respected elite. Mm-hmm. And they will actually listen to what you've got to say, and they will actually put your questions in Parliament.
I mean, this plan, this way of thinking is very in line with, I guess you'd say, the spirit of the Victorians. Victorian Britain was built like this. Not by central committees, but by people just being like, yeah, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. Friendly societies, people getting together and being like, yeah, we want to do this type thing. So it is kind of, it's within the kind of, I guess you'd say the ethno spirit or something of the nation, because this is the way that a lot of the infrastructure in the country was built in the first place. So Interesting. Well, I hope this takes off. Anything else you want to say before we wrap up here?
I would just say to people, you don't want to say, sort of, give me the money. You know, you don't want to do the full, what's his face from Live Aid. But
Bob Geldof.
Bob Geldof, yeah, that was it. Yeah, you don't want to go the full Bob Geldof, but it's we saw in the flag protest there is energy here. And all that needs is a bit of direction, and all the direction needs is the positive vision. But the positive vision needs people to be doing this full time. And that is not full time commenting on Twitter posts. That's full time driving this forwards. And ultimately, if you want to be allowed near the halls of power, you're going to have to be shown, you're going to have to prove yourself to be a positive contribution to your local society. And ultimately, if we can't pull the resources to open a shed in an industrial estate in a market town in the back end of West Devon, we might as well give this up and return to the Matrix.
All right. Well, best of luck with it. Let's say, I mean, I'll be interested to see the fruits of this charcoal. What is it? Charcoal or?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The first one. In fact, I've run engines on it before. We can talk about that very briefly. So yeah, in a classic example of just doing stuff, I bought a mill and bought a press and did some research into how third worlders make briquettes, because it's very common out there. Did it myself, made, 300 or 400 weights of the stuff very, very slowly. Chucked them in a steam engine to see how they went, and they did all right. And the prototyping phase continues. But again, with the resources and capability, I can only put a little bit of money aside for it every month. I can only commit one Saturday afternoon a month to making this stuff. And I can only do it in batches of sort of 50. So it takes me 8 months to build a bunker load of briquettes, only to realize it doesn't work. And then I have to spend another, the heat content's there. It's just the survivability. So that's talking about that. But if it was full time and I can make a bunker load a day, in a week, I'd have it sussed. Really, instead of 4 years. And once we got it sussed, then you can build it commercially. I've given them to friends who put them in the log burners and say they're amazing. Hold heat for ages and burn nicely and cleanly, and there's very little ash and all the rest of it. So, but crucially, it's about bringing us together to do non-political stuff in the real world, and building that foundation there, because if you're not doing that, you are just posting on Twitter.
Well, Alex, if it all takes off, I want you to promise me a ride on that railway, the first one.
Yeah, I'll get you in the cab on the opening train.
All right, fantastic. And where can people find you again?
Yeah, so follow me on Twitter for the very latest at A2_masters, or just search Alex That Steam Guy. I do also have a YouTube channel, actually, which put my Witan speech from 24 on it. Just search Alex Masters, All the Problems with British Energy, I think it's called. And for this one, yeah, if you want to, get stuck in, get involved and do some really interesting stuff, go over to Patreon at CC Fuels, Compressed Carbon Fuels, and contribute what you can, and we'll do something really amazing there.
Fantastic. And I'll just remind people, all this month I have my January sale on the Academic Agency, promo code SHORJAN. Most importantly of all, everybody, get out. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.